Microsoft getting into the phone business, a Zune for $100, Oracle buyout, 10 dumb $1 million ideas, Internet 2, Electric Boogaloo, it's all here on the show. Tune in, you are here. Hey, this is Jeff, and welcome to the show. And of course, you know, probably by now, this is episode number 3 of the show. Thank you very much for tuning in. I'm assuming it's your first time, unless you heard episode number 2 or episode number 1. Well, thank you for listening to episode number 3. My name is Jeff, and I am your guide for this week, the week of October 17th. We're 2 weeks before Halloween. That's pretty cool. So, anyway, by now you probably know the show is not the name of the show that I want to do. I want you to tell me what you want to hear. What do you think should be the name of this show? So we put together phone line 608-807-4379. I've got an email address, drummerman1@gmail.com. And of course you can always just send it there or give me a call and give us some ideas for the show. What should we name this podcast? It's a new venture for me. Since I do mostly music stuff, I'm doing tech stuff this time because I like tech too. And I think we got. I kind of like what's going on here. I'm enjoying this podcast. Not to say I don't enjoy my music podcasts, but you know it's a little bit different and a lot more fun. Well, just as fun. We'll just say just as fun. So. And of course, me, I'm an IT tech. I work for a company that sells wholesale stuff, and I'm the only IT person out of a lot of employees. So I do a lot of hat changing from desktops to servers to switches to phone systems, really. So that's what I do. And we just last week we put in a brand new air conditioning system into our server room. Now, we had an air conditioning system in our server room. It was only two and a half ton AC unit, and it didn't do a good job. In fact, when we had a 90 degree day, we pretty much popped our circuits. We found out two things from it. One, we needed a better air conditioning service. Two, we needed a better power distribution service. We had 20 amp circuits, 15 amp strips. And I don't understand how that worked. So in the end, we put in 3.5 ton air conditioning unit. Of course, that 2.5 ton unit is a backup, and we put in 4 new 30 amp hookups for our servers, for the redundancy. So we've got a pretty dang good system now. So we're gonna be hooking that up next week when we do all our main backups. And lots of fun. We've been doing a lot of work in our warehouse area, taking care of some of the PCs there. Lots of new stuff, and we just got a whole bunch of new copiers, and that's a lot of people. They're in the learning phase, and now we've pretty much phased out almost all of our printers and went to full function copiers. Now this is great because you know you don't have to worry about 500 different devices. It's all one brand. Granted, the model numbers are slightly different, but it's all one brand. It's really nice. So anyway, enough about this. It's time to get into some of the news and things that have been happening around here. So we're going to start off with the, I really don't think this is true, but you know, I like the article. So yeah, over on Gadget, if you go over on Gadget Lab, I better slow down a little bit because I'm kind of stumbling over my words, you see? Microsoft patenting the iPhone? Microsoft has a new patent application out there. If you go to the link, you'll see it, and you'll see the actual patent link. It's 2007-024-0079. And it's just basically they filed for a certain cell phone going on. It looks a lot like the iPhone. It could be the iPhone. You never know. It's called the iPhone, maybe. Microsoft CNET News just announced that I was going through all my all the stuff I need to talk about, and I saw this, and it's like Microsoft dials up Phone Ambitions. Now, I know that they've been talking about it, and I know they've been working on it. They're really going to ramp it up. They're getting into the telephony business. And, of course, it makes perfect sense. With telephone, with all the phone information getting into a more computer realm rather than a analog realm, you know, your IP phone. I have a feeling in 5 years is a computer IP phone, one unit, one piece. If you have a landline, you'd probably just have your cell phone. I only have my cell phone. Everybody in this house has their own cell phone. You want to get a hold of them? Call the cell phone. That's it. I do have 807-4379, which is not a cell phone. So I technically do have two numbers, but that number doesn't go to a phone here. It goes to pretty much an answering service. So take a read on that. That's a very good article, very, very good article about what they're going to be doing for stuff like that. And of course, the one thing that really surprises me is the fact that, you know, they've been partnering up a lot with Cisco, and now they're talking about unified communication. Of course, they've always been talking about unified communications. And of course, for those of you who don't understand what it is, basically what it is you could get everything in one little application. You could get your emails, you could get your voicemails, you could get your faxes, you could get anything. Like, for instance, at work, you get an email through Outlook, maybe, if you use Outlook. But you could also get your fax through Outlook. You can also get your voicemails through Outlook. I used to work at a place where we did do that. The Exchange 2007 is going to have unified communications. Addition, you have to put up a whole other server, but you'll be able to receive faxes in your email. You'll be able to receive voicemails in your email. So you're out on the field. You connect up to an internet connection. You check your email. You find you have three voicemails you need to attend to. So it's good. I'm looking forward to it. And Windows, or I'm sorry, Microsoft is going in that direction. 5 years, it's all going to be one piece. So that's where we go. Speaking of iPhone, the dev team released the free 1.1.1 unlock. What does this do? It's they call it at Engadget, they call it the unlock chess match today. Basically, what it is it's an unlocking app, enables iPhones with both firmware versions 1.02 and 1.1.1 to operate on any GSM network. Use with your own risk. I have a feeling that Apple's going to come out with iBrick 2 Electric Boogaloo. You never know. It's going to go back and forth. It's going to be interesting to see. But the reality is, you know, I don't understand it. You know, Apple pulls out a $600, turns it into a $400 phone. And so people want to use it on their network as opposed to AT&T or whatever else you can get an iPhone for. So they unlock it. So Apple counters with the brick. I understand the whole thing. You know, you want to keep things controlled. But come on. Come on. Going back to the Microsoft end, how would you like to pick up a 30-gigabyte Zune for $100? Geek.com has announced there's been an announcement that the older Zunes will be about $100 for 30-gigabyte Zune. I think that's pretty decent if you need something. It's going to definitely rival an iPod. I saw the new Zunes. They look pretty darn good, and I have a feeling that they're going to... really, 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 really rival with the iPods. But the reality is I'm not getting any type of MP3 player or multimedia content player, as I call it. I got my smartphone. That's where I'm putting my content. You know, I got it 2 gigabytes of storage in there, and it's just easy because it's one piece. It's not three phones and two PDAs and an MP3 player. One piece, move on. And it's a small computer, too. Sometimes I don't even need to take my laptop. So check it out if you're in the market for that type of stuff. You know, I see the Zune have advantage over the iPod, the touch screens, the just all the little bits and pieces. The biggest thing is, you know, the Zune has an FM radio to it. I mean, that's small. So tight, small, and insignificant. Why doesn't the iPod have that? That's what sells me. It's just those little things that make you think, you know, if all else fails, you need to listen to the radio, hey, here it is. If all else fails and you need to do something, hey, here it is. You can do that. That's what I like about that. All right, moving on. Mac, October 26th, Leopard release. If you're the newest version of OS X, Leopard, you get, what is it, 10 days left? Basically, it's Mac OS 10.5, and it'll be a big one. It'll be a big one. You need to have a PowerPC G5 or a PowerPC G4. 867 megahertz. I have an 800 megahertz PowerPC 4. Dang them. 512 megabytes of RAM. It's $130 for a single user copy and $200 for a 5 user copy. That's not too bad. That's not too bad. Now, they're complaining because, you know, it's an upgrade price. Well, yeah, it is an upgrade price, but they're upgrading to the next level. You're going to do a lot more. $129 really isn't that bad if you think about it. If you think about how much you have to pay for Microsoft products sometimes, you have to think about, well, of course, free would be better. And we're going to talk about another free operating system a little bit here. So, but if my computer could handle it, I think I would probably upgrade to the newest version of Mac OS. I mean, that's yeah. Yeah. So anyway, moving on. This is from Hard OCP. They deal with a lot of hardware. This is a great site. They're talking about, and of course, a lot of places have been talking about this. Basically, Google has unveiled a new YouTube anti-piracy tool. Basically, it's trying to identify pirated video from time to time. So it's ramping that idea up. If you go over to CNET, you'll see the whole article about it. Basically, they're using codecs to try and figure out, is this video copyrighted? And I think, you know, I do YouTube so little. I got some stuff up on YouTube. To send copyrighted material up there, first of all, you can't do more than 10 minutes unless you got, like, was it the Premiere account or whatever it is. So what's the sense if you have only 10 minutes at a time? If you, let's say you did even a TV show, maybe a half hour TV show, 30 minutes, you got to have three sections to it. You know, other copyrighted material, it'll kind of suck. Because then you won't get to check out, like, the cool commercials and stuff like that, which I think should go up there. And they should say, hey, send that up there, because all you're doing is advertising our company some more. All it's going to do is take the little stuff and make it go away. And unfortunately, some of the little stuff that falls under this anti-piracy law gets hurt. And they're going to realize it once they start doing that. But I think this the steps YouTube is making taking things in the right direction. So they can open things up a little bit more. So you can put your original stuff. I mean, I've got two videos up there right now, and they're all original. And I plan to do more. You know, watch the Chad Vader up there. Watch the, watch all the new stuff that's coming out, you know, because this is the new content that's coming out. So anyway, enough about that. Moving on. If you are an Oracle user, we're going to talk about Oracle a little bit later too, twice in one show, go figure. Oracle buying out BEA systems. Now, in all reality, it's not going to matter much to you unless you use Oracle, but or unless you use BEA systems. So it's just going to make Oracle a little bit stronger, and I think it's a great thing. The only thing is they've been complaining about the price per share, $17, as opposed, you know, they started at like 13 something, And then award of the buyout, their BEA shares can't went up about to like $18 or something like that. So, and I'm gonna stop going. Stopping it right now. Stopping it. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So Oracle, I think they gave him a great deal. Of course, I'm not a business person. I'm not a stock trader. I don't know. I know a little bit about it, but wow. Complain about the price about getting bought out. It's going to happen. Well, not always. I've seen some companies say, oh, we're going to buy out. And last minute they pull out and some other companies bought them for less. So there's a really good article, more of a blog. It's basically the 13 reasons your Facebook account will be disabled. Now, I have a Facebook account, and the number one reason I have on mine, and that is I didn't use my first name, I used my nickname. Now, the thing is, I've emailed Facebook, and I said, you know, I didn't realize what was going on. Here's my real name. Please change it. Haven't heard anything from them. So I'll probably do that again, but I wouldn't be surprised if they disabled my Facebook account. So, but there's 13 reasons your Facebook account will be disabled. Now, some of these reasons are kind of stupid. Like, you're poking people too much. There's a lot of doubtful information. Like, they don't think that you really went to that school or that organization or whatever. But, you know, stuff like, poking people too much. It just doesn't make sense. Too many applications. Did you join too many groups? Oh, he must be trouble. He joined too many groups. He's a socialite. He's a social butterfly. We better get him off of Facebook. Go to MySpace. That's what that's there for. Silly. Read through it. 13 things. And like I said, there, you're going to say, yeah, I agree. I'm under 18 years old. I shouldn't be on Facebook. Anywho. This next one is actually pretty cool. I put these two back to back, and you're gonna see a lot more on this. It's the HD DVD versus Blu-ray battle royal. Over in this corner we have HD DVD, and on this corner we have Blu-ray. Which one's better? Now, you know, the biggest problem is, you know, you split it up, and then you have to buy a movie. You don't know if you're going to buy DVD, you're going to buy the HD DVD, you don't know if you're going to buy the Blu-ray, and then a year from now, one of those disappears, and then all of a sudden, whatever you bought in one, you have to buy for the other. So if you want your copy of Roadhouse, keep it on VHS. No, I'm just kidding. DVD, I still have a DVD player. I haven't even jumped into this high-definition thing. But basically, the first article talks about HD DVD players outsell Blu-ray players 4-1. 4-1. And the following article talks about how Panasonic says that Blu-ray discs will be victorious by New Year's. Victorious for what? There's just going to be the super surge over Christmas that they're going to buy Blu-ray disc players. I think the only way that you're going to do that, Panasonic, is if you give them away for free. Let me reiterate that. Give them away for free. Free. Free Blu-ray. That'll definitely beat out anything. If they say, here, Merry Christmas, here's a Blu-ray player. And, you know, the funny thing is I don't understand that. If they gave away Blu-ray players, then people will buy Blu-ray discs, and they'll make money off the Blu-ray discs for their Blu-ray player. It's kind of like the whole printer thing. You buy an inkjet printer for $25, $10, whatever, and then you buy the cartridges for $30 to $40. I don't know. It's kind of a silly idea. Maybe. Maybe not. You never know. Hey, I just want to reiterate, if you do want to call and leave a message, 608-807-4379, name the show. If you got a good name for a tech show and you just don't want a podcast, just give it to me. And basically what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to look for names. It's going to be catchy. It's got to have the website that I can put together for. So if you say, hey, yeah, the tech show, and then the techshow.com is already used, then I'm going to have to move on. Or if the techshow.com is used but techshow.net is not used, I might go that route. But you got to remember, if the techshow.com is a porno site, I'm probably going to move on. Simply because of the fact, you know, I don't want people to go to techshow.com by accident and see some girl taking off her clothes. Of course, in all reality, a year or two down the road, whatever I pick, you know, somebody might come up and put together a website, and that's actually a porno site. You know, somebody gets out of the business, another person buys the website, yada, yada, yada. Anyway. 608-807-4379, or drummerman1@gmail.com. Hope I said Gmail before. Maybe I said Yahoo. If I said Yahoo, forgive me, it's Gmail. All right, moving on. This is an interesting article. Australia put together an $80 million filter to block out adult content. Pretty nice, pretty decent. They care about their people. 16-year-old boy cracked it. Is like days or something like that. He just cracked it. So now, this teen has taken the instructions on how to crack it and put it up on YouTube. Another good reason for YouTube. So, it's there's always going to be a way around it. I know I worked for a job where, right when the internet started, well, as a public commercial business, everybody was on a phone line rather than DSL or cable. Try and find somebody on a phone line nowadays. Yeah, you're probably going, yeah, my grandma's on a phone line still. Okay, understandable. At any rate, we were working with these Cyber Patrol and Net Nanny, and the one thing that we were told is to try and break them, to understand how to break them so we can fix them. So when the irate parent calls up, you can say, yeah, you just do this, this, and this, and then you've got it fixed again. And they go, oh, cool. So then they know how to take care of it. So it, but you know, it, you put a filter on, any type of filter, expect somebody to try and break through, especially porno. Come on. Now, the funny thing, I was just talking to somebody about this. I really, you know, I rarely go to these websites, you know, anymore. Sometimes you go for the to just work on and see what's out there and stuff like that. But you know, there is absolutely nothing on my computer that could go to, because actually I've done it. Go to the website and all of a sudden you got a virus on your system. Now me, IT professional, shouldn't have a virus on my system, but I did. I got it. I cleaned it off really quick, and it moved on. But it happens. And you know, the more seedier the site, the better risk. So go to the porno sites at your own risk, but remember, you got to go through the filter first. So all right, last week we talked about the hard drive that had the little flash drive in it to make it faster and more powerful and less power consuming. This week, they're working on it even more. This is a hard drive. Now they're also talking about 4-terabyte hard drives, 4 terabytes worth of data. Right now, I think I have 500 gigs in my computer through 4 different drives. 500 gigs. Now, multiply that by 8, and you've got a hard drive. Now, 4 terabytes, that's so... 4 terabyte SATA drive. I've been thinking about actually getting 1 terabyte SATA drives and getting about 4 of them and making a SATA RAID array and put it down in the basement and then put all my stuff on. Because I go through Rhapsody for my music. I go through different sources for the movies and the TV shows and stuff like that. I even have the digital recorder. But wouldn't it be cool? You put that all onto the terabyte drives and you put them downstairs. And then when you need to watch them, you watch them. So 4 terabytes, that's awesome. But this article is talking about accessing your hard drive while your computer is off. You know, you have the external hard drives, but what if your external hard drive could be internal too? You know, I could think of a few weeks ago when I was over at a buddy's house and I had to pull a file off my laptop. I had to turn on my laptop. I had to pull it out. I had to grab the thumb drive, took the file off the thumb drive, shut down the laptop, put it onto the computer, and boom. And in this case, you just take a cable and put it right to the computer. Don't even need to turn on the computer and pull that information off. So, hey. That's cool. And, you know, the funny thing is I'm looking at Keek.com, and I did this review. I went through this article a little bit earlier today, and I'm looking at the recent content, and I'm going to click on this right now. This is going off the mark here, but a 13-year-old offers hack for iPod Touch. This is the first time I'm seeing this, so I'm new to this one. We'll start a little bit on it. Let's see, it looks like the iPod Touch has some limitations, can only be used on Intel Macs. The iJailbreak software, oh, that's the name of the software, it's called iJailbreak. Nice. Software to make use of previous hacking software to accomplish this. So it's crazy. Now, this is a 13-year-old kid. 17-year-old one did the instructions on how to unlock the iPhone. This kid is 13. Wow, what am I going to do in 5 years? I'm going to be too old. I'm just going to have to start working at McDonald's. The 13-year-olds are going to do my job. I'm going to do what a 13-year-old usually should do. I don't have to say that they can't do IT stuff, but really, come on. When I was 13, I was working fast food. I was starting to get my money. I wasn't getting to this level. So, everything backwards and crazy. So, speaking of which, oh, wow, that just leads us right in the next article. Brian Reed. He's a pioneer on... He's a pioneer on many levels. I mean, he worked with Alta Vista. He started the word processor that we know it today. He was part of. He worked with electronic publishing, to the basic blog forms that we have today, he was working for Google. And he had a pretty good job. He was making $200,000 a year plus stock options, which would take him about $60 million. And then all of a sudden, about, I think it was like 3 years ago, Google decided, well, you know, you don't fit our image. You're a little bit outdated. It's time to go. Lethargic, that's the word that they used. And his ideas were obsolete. Now, granted, if somebody's not producing right, If they're not doing their job, if they're sitting around on their duff, or if they're just not hitting the mark, you know, they're trying their best, but it's just not working out. Yeah, I can understand. Let them go. Move on. But, wow. I highly doubt this guy was like that. I might be wrong. I don't know the guy. But, you know, wow, that'd be like telling John Wayne, no, we don't need you. We're going to find another actor. You know, if he ever walked up and said, "Hey, I want to do a movie," yeah, it's not going to happen. He's going to be part of that role. So, it's sad, and especially since I'm getting so old, I'm not 13 years old anymore and can hack through an iPhone or iPod or whatever comes out next week. So, moving on, I'm done with that. Moving on, Led Zeppelin. Albums go online, and I think this is a great idea. You know, Led Zeppelin was talking about, you know, they didn't like the idea of putting their albums online. They're gonna be playing on the 26th of November, so it really shows us that we're getting into the age of getting the music off of any type of tangible media and putting it into electronic form. I have Rhapsody. Like I said, I think I said it last week, I got rid of most of my CDs. The only CDs I have are the ones that really, you know, you don't normally find. But you know, with Rhapsody, the best part about Rhapsody, if you're a local musician, you can get your music on Rhapsody. There are, and I don't have the name of the site you can go to. I mean, I'll look it up for next week. But you go to the site, and it helps you publish your music to places like iTunes and Yahoo Music and Rhapsody and so on and so forth. And then every time people play your music, you're actually getting paid for it. So it's a great thing. It's just really another staple in the fact that online music's going online. It's not going to stop. Not going to stop. So, the one thing that's really sad about is the fact that you get an album, you don't get the cover art the way you used to. You might get a little PDF of the cover art. All the cool stuff, you know, the way the record looked. I remember with the record when they could actually make prints on top of the album or on top of the record itself. They could, they can't do that stuff anymore. So you lose a little bit of it, but there's always that underground. I read an article. I didn't put it with the list. They were talking about how albums were still around and how so they're still popular, still being used, and hopefully for more than just scratching. They get used. I know the radio station that I listen to, they do album sides, and they do it using an album. And at first I thought it was, they just took the album off the CD and then just put the little pops and scratches into it. But no, they actually take the album and record it. And it makes it a little bit better, a little bit more fun to listen to. So if you haven't done that and you can get yourself a record player and an old album of anything, give it a try. Just kind of listen to it, you know, something new, something on CD, and then the same thing on album, and you'll see, you know, you'll either go, hey, this is really cool, why did I get rid of this? Or you're going to go, oh, why did I just do this? You're either going to like it or you're not going to like it. Move on. Speaking of which, I will move on. Dumb but profitable. $10 million ideas that shouldn't have worked. Do you remember the $1 million homepage? I remember the $1 million homepage. I remember when I clicked on the $1 million homepage and there was only like a couple ads on it. Now, if you go to the $1 million homepage, which is still up, there's a ton of stuff up there. And basically, it was like a dollar a pixel, a million pixels, the theory is sound, and Alex 2, 21-year-old, came up with the idea, is a millionaire. Doggles. Clothing wear and sunglasses for dogs, $1 million. Antenna balls. I think that was the Walmart thing that really pushed it. But $1 million. Just a whole bunch of stuff that you go, why did it make $1 million? Santa mail. Now I can kind of understand why this would make it $1 million. This is an easy sell. I mean, send your mail to Santa. Here's the website. That's actually not a dumb idea. That's a very good thinking on somebody's part. So, anyway, there's a lot of good stuff on this. And actually, there's some articles underneath it, like 10 unusual ways to make easy money on the internet if you love writing. But watch out. You know, these are scams. These can be scams. They can be good things, too. Use your judgment. And don't come back and say, you know, you told me so. Because I'm going to tell you, no, use your judgment. And I think you can find stuff that you actually make money on. I mean, even a podcast. I mean, look at this. Granted, I'm not making money off the podcast. Really not. Even if I had sponsors, how much money would I really make off the podcast? Probably enough to cover my website and stuff like that. That's it. Get the listenership up. And then once the listenership comes up, then I'm going to have to buy more disk space or web space, because now you're listening to my show more and I'm going to need more, and it's going to be back and forth. So it's going to be pittance. I don't do this for the money, not by any means, but You know, be careful. That's all you can do. And if you come up with that million-dollar winning web idea, and no $50,000 or the bunny gets it type stuff, please. Moving on. This is a very good article. It talks about the RIAA, and I'm not trying to glorify the RIAA or give them sympathy or anything like that, but they really talk about this. And basically they're saying, hey, you know, we are not making money off of suing people. We are losing money off suing people. I'm not going to spoil much. I'll let you read through it. But the actual damages, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I can understand why the RIAA does that. But, you know, the reality is the money does not go back to the artist. On the flip side, neither do the punitive damages. So let's say Joe Blow downloads some music, and the RIAA comes up and says, you know, you're going to pay for that, and they go to court, and they get like $100,000 out of the deal. $100,000, you know, the person doesn't have $100,000, so he ends up getting docked in his pay or something like that until it can go through. So what's the artist going to see? Nothing. It's going to cover court costs. It's going to cover everything else, and then they're going to cut their losses, and then that's it. Now you're saying, well, if they lose in it, why try? Well, you got to keep things in check. It's kind of like, if cops don't do their job, then why do you have cops? Not to say that cops don't do their job. I'm just saying, you know, you don't just think that it's gonna that they should just stop doing it. I can understand why they're doing it. I don't like what they're doing, how they're doing it, but you know, that's just one voice, and that's not gonna stop them from doing it. So, moving on. Microsoft dispels rumors of stealth Windows updates. Now they're talking about how when you get a new computer, the first thing, the one thing that Microsoft does is they turn on the automatic updates and everything else. So you get these little pop-ups saying, "Hey, you don't have virus software," or "Hey, these are new updates. You should download them now." They're saying that there's some updates that they don't even tell you, and they just update your computer. Now, I can see why people are upset because of this, but reality is, if I go to the mechanic to get something done, let's say I need to get the alternator changed in my car, and the mechanic notices the battery needs to be changed. Now, of course, if he just changes the battery and then tells me later, you know, I'm not going to pay for a battery. I'm not going to pay for the labor because he decided that he needed to put it in. But I want him to be aware of what's going on with my car. Microsoft wants to be aware of what's going on with Windows, so you don't come home, turn on your computer, and find your everything on your computer is completely trashed. What are you going to do then? Well, you're going to either stop buying Microsoft or try to sue them. So it's not like they're trying to sell, they're pulling data to try and sell it. They're just if they're doing it, they're probably just, you know, little patches that are going to keep your computer running, because you know so much is involved in a computer running, and so much unknown is involved in a computer running. It's crazy, you know. Microsoft has to compete with new motherboards, new processors, new memory, new sound cards, new video cards, all this stuff. It needs to keep up on, or else you know it won't work. And then you don't want a computer that doesn't work. So if they're doing it, chances are they're doing it to save you from not being able to turn on your computer and have it completely dead. So I'm on the fence on this one simply because that's the reason why I see that. If it's true, hey, what can you do? You know, the hackers get in, they put their little spam, their little viruses on it, and then that virus replicates and goes to the next computer. Same thing. So, there's other things to worry about, bottom line. Moving on, speaking of things to worry about, Internet 2 gets a 10 speed 10x boost. 10 times faster. The network capacity to 100 gigabits. And that means that we can do a lot more with the Internet. you know, multiple connections. We could, you know, right now I have a 5 megabyte connection at my house. 5 megabytes with an upload of something crazy like 512 kilobytes, which is, it should be like 2 or 3 times more. But at any rate, I got a 5 megabyte connection. I got a pretty fast internet, but it could be faster. You know, if I start watching shows online, if I start getting my music online, if I start getting, you know, recipes for dinner online, if I start doing this online, that online, the other thing online, do a web conference. I'm a musician, so I might hook up with some other musicians online, and we might jam online. Possible. And with the internet, too, it's more possible. And then it's going to get better, faster. And then 5 years down the road, I don't have a 5 megabyte connection. I have 100 or 1 gigabyte connection. And just think of the things you can do with a 1 gigabyte connection. Crazy. I was reading another article. I didn't, of course, I didn't post on to the show, but basically they talked about the items that were in Star Trek that are now a reality. And of course, the number one thing is the communicator, because you now have a cell phone on your hip. You know, they talk, the tricorder's been replicated. 2 weeks ago, I saw cloaking technology has been created. Now, granted, it's got to be something the size of a pea to be cloaked. Not even that big, smaller than that. But, you know, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, that's going to grow. And you might have cloaking technology, transporter technology. We have an internet, too. Maybe we could transport small things. You know, I could call up the pizza place and say, hey, I need a pepperoni and sausage pizza. And then they could transport it here. That's pretty cool. All through the internet. Wireless internet. Would even be cooler. HowStuffWorks.com was acquired by Discovery for $250 million. Now, if you've never been to HowStuffWorks.com, it's a site, and I put the link there. Basically, it's a site that talks about how certain things work. Now, granted, there's some really stupid things that are on there, like how tying a tie really works. Whatever. But there are some other things that you get to learn. Like, for instance, how a machine gun works. Now, granted, some of you don't want to know how a machine gun works, but there's a little bit more to it than how does tying a tie work, you know? How do bats work? Of course, you know, things like that. There's silly, and then there's realistic. And, you know, I think some of the silly actually is realistic, actually important to know. But, you know, it just sounds silly to hear that we need a website to talk about that. A couple more articles, and then we're gonna wrap things up here. We'll talk about what's left on the list here. The first thing, the axe falls on 20% of AOL workers. Now, I've worked in a building where AOL was populating that area, and they got there and they had a big push. 700. They just bought. They got people off the street. They didn't care where they came from. They just pulled them in and said, "Hey, you're working as an AOL worker." And at that time, AOL was popular. It was the number one internet service provider, or internet community provider. And it was understandable that they were growing, and I think they were growing too fast for their britches. And I think they just didn't get on the right bandwagon at the right time. And when Time Warner bought it, I was surprised. Time Warner bought it, I thought, okay, Roadrunner's going to get a brand new thing. It's going to have Roadrunner with AOL. No. No, it didn't. Didn't at all. So, AOL is getting worse, especially with the new internet, the web 2.0 out, because it's the web 2.0 is blogging, it's communication, it's communities, it's everything that AOL was, and more. So, where does that leave AOL? Been there, done that. I can do that somewhere else. Bought the T-shirt. And of course, I've had my screen name, a couple of them, back when AOL gave out all those discs, and you got the free for a month trial, and you went over the phone and everything like that. So They sold five. They got they lost 5,000 jobs about 6 months ago, a year ago, or something like that. Another 2,000. It's gonna get worse, and they're gonna get to a point where they'll probably be stable again. But AOL, of course, not the number one. Maybe they can climb back up. Never say never about something. So this next thing, and if you want to buy it for me, you are more than welcome to. There is a pillow. Now, if you snore, or if you have sleep apnea, you know what it's like to wake up and just kind of toss and turn and get a cruddy night's sleep. And then you look at stuff like the air beds and the NASA foam beds and stuff like that. And then you go get your sleep apnea test from the doctors, and they say, well, you need to wear a CPAP, which is a breathing apparatus that is noisier than the snoring itself. So if you're sleeping with somebody, they get even more annoyed. I have snoring problems because I still have my tonsils in. 35 years old, and I still have my tonsils in, and that's what's keeping me from snoring. So anyway, they decided to look at the aim a little bit different. Now they're making a pillow that is helping you move around while you sleep. It senses when it's time, when it sounds like you're getting ready to snore, and it kind of shifts you around a little bit so you don't snore. And it does it lightly so it doesn't wake you up. Now, some people might not work. Some people will be perfect. So we'll see what happens. It's a good read there. A Linux PC that fits anywhere. Now, they have a picture of a Swiss Army knife, and they have a picture of the Fit PC, and it is small. And I think it's a cool idea. In reality, unless it had an LCD monitor and a keyboard on it, I got my smartphone that does better. So it'd be nice if my smartphone had the speed of a Pentium 4 and I could download some really cool videos and games and stuff like that. But it doesn't. So this Linux thing is not going to be much different. So. But I use Linux. I actually have the Kubuntu loaded, and I'll probably look at the new version, and we're going to talk about this in a second. Actually, we're going to talk about this in two articles, so we'll stop right here. The 10-year watch. Yes, I told you last week we got some companies that are starting to hit their 10-year mark. They started 10 years ago when the internet was starting out. For consumers, of course, the internet's been around a lot longer than that. Yeah, Al Gore would attest to that. But anyway, a lot of these companies started about 10 years ago. And this is a perfect example. Winamp started 10 years ago. Congratulations to Winamp. 10 years old. They have a great program. I enjoy it. I have it on most of my machines. I don't have it on my work machine. But the reason why is because I reloaded my work machine about a month ago. I just haven't had the chance to put it on. So it's a great player, great online streaming. They have the Shoutcast stuff, which I catch every now and then. Got a couple radio shows I listen to. One of my favorites is StreamingSoundtracks.com, which they stream out movie soundtracks. It's really nice, really nice. Some update alerts. Ubuntu. It's Gutsy Gibbon is out on Thursday. That's basically 7.10. So if you are a Linux fan, you better go get that. Oracle is going to push out 51 patches, probably to get ready for this new acquisition to BEA. So there's a lot of flaws. They're also going to be using what's called version 2 of the CVSS, which is the Common Vulnerability Scoring System, to rate the flaws. They're going to go through 11 security fixes. Now, if you don't know what Oracle is, it's a program that really pushes out database stuff. So very secure data could go through Oracle programs. Now, 51 patches is a lot of patches. And Microsoft, Microsoft, one thing that Microsoft does is once they have a patch, they put it out for the most part. So But there's one thing I got to stop and say this. Microsoft, if I need to use Microsoft Windows Update. I need Microsoft Windows Update to work for me. And if you are a if you know somebody that works at Microsoft, please tell them that, you know, I understand I have to download the ActiveX control. I understand that I have to do the validation tool. But that stops me. That stops me from getting these updates on. So I click on the Windows Update. It says I have to load up the ActiveX, the new version of Windows Update. So I do that. It takes 5 minutes. And then I have to say okay. And then it goes forward and says, oh, you need to validate your copy of Windows XP. And I do that again. Now, if I'm doing work and I need to do this, and especially if I need to update like one knowledge base article patch, I have to do all this stuff. So what could take me, you know, in times past, what I would do is I would go up there, I would select the updates that I needed, I'd walk away, I'd come back, and they were done. Now, it takes 5 minutes for each part, the validation for the ActiveX part. You know, I can't sit there and say yes to everything. I need something that's going to work straight through and go, so I can go and get stuff fixed, and when I come back, it's all ready to reboot. So Microsoft, please look at that process. It's very, very, very weighing me down. Very much weighing me down. So another new update, KDE, the kernel for Linux, is 3.5.8 is going to be released for English. It's in the media, so it's out there now. So if you need to update your KDE project, you can get to 3.5.8. And of course, you can get everything on versiontracker.com. It tells you all the updates that are coming out there. And I use it all the time. When I first got into Macintosh stuff, I was told about Version Tracker, and since then they've pushed over to the Windows side, which I think is a great idea. So a couple more links to note here. We're going to talk about them really quick. The first one is the best Halloween gadgetry. I'm a big Halloween buff. I like Halloween stuff. I just bought some skull lights I'm going to put up. I got to figure out, with the new weird yard, I got to figure out how to put up my Halloween stuff. But they got some cool gadgetry for Halloween, you know, to scare the little kitties and stuff like that. Up on, excuse me, Yahoo Tech. Tech blog talks about a PC that says this computer is never obsolete. Of course, I think they're talking more about the e-machines itself, but it's an old Celeron machine with 366 megahertz, 32 megabytes of RAM, 3.2 gigabyte drive, 56K modem, 4 megabytes AGP graphics. It's funny. Just watch. It's just a picture. So things to note. Full-size transformer. Now, of course, this is all in a language I don't understand, so I don't even know which language it's in. I'm assuming it's Chinese because it's coming from China. But they built a 15-foot-tall transformer robot out of a Citroen C2 car. I think that's how you pronounce it. So go up there. And then finally, CNET News. They showed some pictures, dinosaur sightings, 1970 computers. Some of these computers I actually used. They have about 20 pictures. And, of course, 4 of them are Ataris. Oh, and yeah, I did use the Atari, but they didn't have the VIC-20. Of course, they didn't have the VIC-20, and that came out in the 70s. And that's the computer I used. But check it out. Some good pictures and stuff like that. So, and that's pretty much it. And we're going to get about 55-minute mark here. So we're just going to call it at a day. So, and hey, remember, the phone line, 608-807-4379. You can shoot the breeze, or you can try and name the podcast. And I'll listen to it, and I'll let you know. Also, drummerman1@gmail.com. And of course, I'll change that once I get a name going here. So that's going to do it for this episode of the show. I'm glad you tuned in. I'm glad you... I hope you got a lot of good information here. We're going to do a lot more. We're going to talk to a lot more different people, different things. get this expanded a little bit more than just, hey, here's some news stories. But I hope you enjoyed it. I hope, please comment, become a part of the show. And, of course, we'll do our best to welcome you back next week. So we're going to – podcast will come out every Wednesday morning. So just set up your iTunes. I'll be pushing it over to iTunes shortly. Set up your iTunes to catch it or go up to blueberry.com to catch it. I'm going to have it on some other podcast aggregators shortly. So that's pretty much it. Thank you guys for tuning in. My name is Jeff. This is the show, show number 3. And you guys have a great, great week. And I'll see you here next week. It's going to be the 24th. Yeah, I'll see you on the 24th. Take care.